Dr. Lynn. Let's talk about the Unexplained Phenomenon project that you're working on, which you called UP, which also involves the subtitle of your book, A Skeptic's Discovery That We Are Not Alone. But I want to ask you, what is UP and what's the connection between the Phoenix Lights, near-death experiences, and UP?
While I was interviewing people, witnesses to the Phoenix Lights, not only did I find out that in real time, which were so inundated with threat, and harm with Hollywood and the media, that how are people supposed to react when they see something so unusual? And the movie Independence Day was very popular 6 months before the mass sighting. And children, interestingly, were usually the first to see this mile wide or larger V of lights coming towards them, jumping up and down, Independence Day, Independence Day. But as it got closer, a calmness came over everyone, adults and children alike, that after it passed, they felt connected to it. They wanted to run after it, get in their car and chase it. It's amazing, in real time. And people were just in awe. They were in wonder. I have more people that tell me till today that they feel blessed to have had that experience. That doesn't happen with planes and helicopters and flares. Well, long-term, which was also interesting, people went into the peace movement, the environmental movement. It really touched people at a very, very deep soul level. In fact, other people were telling me that they had had near-death experiences as children that was reawakened by the Phoenix Lights mass sighting. And that really took me aback, because I did too. And I lay it all out there in the book. Since I was 8 years old, I have felt that we are not alone. There is so much more out there when people have. And what I found was that I thought, well, wait a minute. And this isn't about me. This is about the data. And I thought, whoa, near-death experience, could that possibly be connected in some way? And again, when I started looking, just like with the UFO phenomenon, there's a plethora of credible material out there. I started finding studies at university level, Dr. Kenneth Ring, the Omega Project, which is like a 3-inch-thick book, as well as Dr. Stuart Tremblow and Dr. Bruce Grayson from Near-Death Experience Study, as well as Dr. John Mack. He was fascinated with the fact that I actually found a connection between all unexplained phenomena, the experience itself. And he was telling me he was writing a book just about that. And we were going to be working together. And unfortunately, he passed 6 months later in a tragic car accident. But we discussed for some time how the experience itself, whether it's near-death experience, out-of-body experience, or unexplained aerial phenomena with a mystical light associated with this experience, and I lay out very simply in the book, is so similar when you really look at the data. But the most profound, poignant, powerful thing about unexplained phenomena, and I started calling all unexplained phenomena an UP, UP, unexplained phenomena, and UP, because the positive after effect is so life-changing. The connectiveness to the universe, to the earth, to each other, that has probably never been felt by that experiencer of an UP experience before. The awakening, the enlightenment, that the person is never the same. People say, do you believe in UFOs? It's not a belief anymore. It's a knowing. And also in the book, I give tips how to not only connect to these other intelligences, but if you open up your mind and your heart and you learn about and up and you learn about the data, that's fascinating, if nothing else, and powerful, it can also transform you to a positive place.
In your book, The Phoenix Lights, A Skeptic's Discovery That We Are Not Alone, you show a ghost-like photo that you believe is very significant to this concept.
Thank you for bringing that up, because after doing such a study for years concerning the connection between all unexplained phenomena, it just so happened that our son had taken a picture of a kitten that he had just gotten. Here, he was very, very close to my mom, and he actually got his first pet as a gift for his then fiance on the 10th anniversary day of her passing. And he was in UCLA at the time, at UCLA Law, and he went back to LA and calls me up all frantic, "Mom, you're not going to believe this." And by the way, he was the biggest skeptic of the family. He calls me up. He says, "Mom, you're not going to believe this." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I got this iZone, this very small Polaroid camera at the airport. When I got home to the apartment, I was all alone. I took the whole roll, and you must pull out a strip before you can take another picture so it can't be double exposed." He said, "I laid out all the strips, and right in the middle of the roll, there's an arm in front of the kitten's face, and it's translucent, and it looks like mom's arm. Let me explain. She had crippling juvenile arthritis. She went through nursing school, RN, in a wheelchair, and became head nurse of the premature nursery at Albert Einstein Hospital in Philadelphia. She could move mountains. She was incredible. I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for her." But I was skeptical. I said, "Brett, you got your hand in the picture. Mom, it's a right hand, and it looks like mom's hand. She had a very, very distinctive arthritic hand." I said, "You know what? Keep the picture until I get there in May when you graduate from law school." He brings out this picture. I almost fell off my chair. And we've enlarged it. I've had optical experts, as I've had for my other 35 millimeter photographs and video from university and military, take a look at it. It is mind-boggling. Not only is there an arm in front of the kitten's face, but there's another arm cupping the kitten from behind. You can see through the arm at Brett's JanSport backpack on the floor. And from all my research and from my own near-death experience, where I did see some beings above the earth in glowing white robes, the being in the picture is wearing a white robe. And when I, as a healthy skeptic, look for pictures that might have been my mom's hand, I found a picture of her, and I include that in the book, of her holding a preemie baby almost the same way, which is mind-boggling. That did it for me, Cheryl, because not only did it bring everything together, that we do go on, that it is connected in some way to our afterlife, that the Phoenix Lights woke people up to that, woke people up to that we're not alone in this universe. When you have an up experience, you realize that this is real. As I said before, it's not a belief, it's a knowing.
What do you think now, Dr. Lynn, that the ultimate message of the Phoenix Lights mass sighting was and is now, after 25 years of researching and reflecting on what a life-changing mass sighting that was for so many people?
It's still an incredible mystery. We can conjecture what it might be, but we haven't seen this technology for 25 years. You would think, especially if the United States had this technology, that we would have shown the rest of the world by now. When I came forward in 2004, the accepted, okay, and the only explanation was that it was flares. And it's not just me. So many other people have lent their voice, and so many credible people, the governor, as well as Kurt Russell and others, have come forward. That lend that much more credibility. The more credible people that come forward, the more credible the sighting becomes. And 25 years later, we know at this point, something really extraordinary happened here on March 13th, 1997. But we also know that there is so much more to this story. It wasn't just a one-shot deal that a lot of people out there try to make it to be. It is not only much more to the story in Arizona, but much more to the story worldwide. This is happening worldwide, and people worldwide now, 25 years later, will look up in the sky and either see these orbs in rock solid formation or these triangle V-shaped craft and point and say, "Whoa, there's the Phoenix Lights." And that's pretty cool.
Dr. Lynn, do you believe any Phoenix Lights documents will ever be unclassified and released to the public so that we might get closer to the truth of this event?
I really hope so. I know that John Greenwald from Black Box at one point asked for a FOIA report, and what he got was that the military had nothing to do with it. So that's a little telling at the time. That's why I had to come forward, Cheryl. I couldn't just stick it in a drawer, which I really thought about doing, because once I had that 750-page journal and squeezed it down to 230 pages, and now it's in its fourth print. It keep on adding chapters as the story unfolds. And I hope the next step is that we do get more information about the Phoenix Lights, and that more people will actually look at the data. And the message for the Phoenix Lights is that they touched one person at a time with their appearance in a very gentle, non-threatening way. Again, no one was threatened. No one was harmed. No one was frightened. Quite the opposite. And to wake people up which they did. And I've been told many, many, many times that it woke that person up, not only to the fact that we're not alone in this universe, but that we also are positive beings that have so much potential to make this world a better world. We have so much more out there in the wondrous universe to discover and embrace. And I hope today some of the people listening will do that with the Phoenix Lights.
Dr. Lynn, what's coming up next for you?
Actually, we're celebrating the 25th anniversary on March the 20th, the week after the mass sighting date of the 13th, with an annual community event that I host every year since the documentary, our award-winning documentary, came out in 2005. It's been sold out every year at the Scottsdale Hark and Shea Theater, and people can look on the website for the link for if they'd like to join us, because it's an amazing, amazing event. Not only do we show our documentary on the big screen, which is really thrilling, but it's also the only mainstream event. People in the audience either are curious or witness the Phoenix Lights and want to learn more. We have speakers, wonderful speakers from Navajo Rangers, law enforcement who are studying this, to Travis Walton joins us every year, to we have Frances Barwood, the councilwoman, and a host of others, as well as a Q&A, which this year, Alice Cooper, our own resident rock star here in Arizona, had a similar sighting to the Phoenix Lights. And he's going to be joining us by giving some answers to some questions that the audience has given him. So we're really, really excited. Again, that's on March the 20th. You can get your tickets online on the Phoenix Lights Network website or on the Phoenix Lights Network Facebook page. There's a lot to explore and consider on the website as well. They can check out the photo page, www.thephoenixlights.net. And you'll see my unique collection of 35 millimeter. They're in the negative. They cannot be explained or denied by military or university optical experts. So I hope people go there. And there's links to the book, The Phoenix Lights, The Skeptic's Discovery That We Are Not Alone, as well as the documentary, The Phoenix Lights Beyond Top Secret. And they're all the latest versions.
I don't think anyone could say you're not working hard enough to search for the answers in all of these unexplained mysteries. Thank you so much, Dr. Lynn Cattai, for joining us here tonight on Coast.
Well, it was wonderful visiting with you, Cheryl, and your audience. And I just ask you all to keep looking up.